not saying that. He's saying everybody has to have a kriyas itumah Torah. And there were people that were not learned. It was hard for them to have a kriyas itumah Torah. So he's suggesting something that people can do. They do it berabim, those who can't even learn chayk, at least hear it and understand it and learn it. Okay. We are on Daf Yud Chesed Aleph. We're going to start again with the Einin Mekeres V'Nishnas, which is smack in the middle of the page. So it's about halfway down, two dots, the Einin Mekeres V'Nishnas. Dr. Gemara McLeod, Evan Ivrin Nimkavinishna. The inference is a girl can't be sold twice, but an Evan Ivri can be sold twice. I said, just cast them an olive. You cast them an olive halfway down. There's two dots. The Einan and Karen's Venishness. That's where we are. Art scroll 18A2. Thank you. Ve'ainim carries anishnas. Frankly, Gemara Mechalal Devin Ivri Nimka Anishna. The Brisa said that a girl can be resold twice. Mashman Evan Ivri can be sold twice. Can be sold twice. We're not talking about selling himself. We're talking about others selling. By a girl, it's her father. By an Evan Ivri, it's Bezin. That means Bezin will sell a person twice. Latanya. We sell a person for the principal of what he stole, but not for the extra double. If he came and testified, he was one of two people that testified that somebody stole and had no, and that person they testified about had no money to pay back, and they were going to sell him. And then these Aiden were found Zaymimim. We do not sell them, even if they have no money, because the Torah said we only sell people for stealing, not for Zaymimim. It's an exception to the rule of Kasher Zaman. Once you sell a guy once, you don't sell him a second time. And we just said that Evan Ivri, we inferred, can be sold as a second time. And for the Gemara, Amar Rava, Loikasha, Kam B'Gneva Achas, Kam B'Shnei Gnevas. This is as far as we got yesterday. That if he stole once, and the price needs him to be sold twice, we don't sell him twice. That means the guy stole $100,000. His value for 6 years is $50,000. We don't sell him and then sell him again to get $100,000. Ein nimka v'nishna. He does not get sold twice. According to Rashi Shita, he gets sold once. For 50, at least we recovered 50. The other 50, he'll owe it. Like if a guy borrowed $100,000 and doesn't have money to pay back. We don't sell him. We hope that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will give him money, you know, pay it back. That is by one gneiva. However, if he stole from two people, or from one person twice, I think Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says, he stole twice. Even if when we get to Bezin, he already has both of those gneivas under his belt, we sell him twice. Meaning it's not like we sold him and then 5 years later he stole again. This guy stole twice. He stole from Reuven, he stole from Shimon. Each one, $100,000. He's worth $100,000. We sell him once, and then 6 years later we sell him again to pay back both of them. So he will be sold multiple times for multiple gnevas. He will not be sold multiple times for one gneva. That's, again, I'm learning more like Rashi. Other Rishonim learn differently. We are learning Rashi today. Rashi and Gemara. Sokta Gemara Malabaya. Sabaya said, Bignevasoi Tuva Mashma. Abaya told him that if he gets sold, Bignevasoi is Mashma, there were multiple Gnevas, and yet we only sell him once. Bignevasoi Tuva Mashma. Bignevasoi is Mashma, even if there were multiple Gnevas, if he's in Bezin at one point, we say it means he only gets sold once. And we're understanding, according to Abaye, Bignei Vasai means as many Gnevas as there were, as long as he's in Bezin at one sitting, Bezin will never sell more than once. So that means even if he stole from two people, and he comes to Bezin at the same time, the way Rashi learns, we won't sell him twice.
What does tuva mashma mean?
Tuva means more than one geneva. Many.
Geneva, so...
Again, I don't know Hebrew. I had the same problem. Rashi has the same problem. We'll see how Rashi deals with it. Abai is telling you Bignevasa can be multiples.
Maybe these were allowed.
Again, we'll see Rashi, we'll speculate. Elam Rabbaya Loikasha, Kamba the Mechot, Kamba Shne Bnei Adam. And the way Rashi learns, it depends when he's brought to din. If he's brought to din on one Gneva, we sell him once. He's brought to din on multiple Gnevas, we only all sell him once. If he's brought to din on one, and then 10 years later he steals again, or 4 years later he steals again, we'll sell him a second time. It depends how many times he's in Bezen for his actions. If he did multiple Gnevas and he's in Bezen for multiples, we only sell him once. If he did multiple Gnevas and he's at Bezen at different times, then we will sell him twice. It depends what Bezen is dealing with. Let's do Rashi. Look, Rashi. Bignevasai tuva mashma. Tuva mashma. That's where Rashi was starting. If Amar Alshteyem Bedin Echad, if he was at both Gnevas at one time, meaning Bezen called him in because he stole twice, Kukulan Karinim Be Bignevasai, that would still be considered Bignevasai. Now Rashi answers, Kedusiv Ubehema Rabba. It says singular Behema, but it means many Behemoths. And Hadogla Asher Biyar. Daga means a fish, and yet it means multiple fish. So when you're dealing with the multiples at one time, you can call them singular. So even though it said Bignevasai, which people in this room translated to mean singular, Rashi is telling me that Abaye is saying, if it's dealt with at one time, that is singular. And we would refer to multiple Gnevas as Gnevasai, because Bezen is dealing with it at one time. And therefore, the Torah is saying we only sell them once. I'm not taking any questions. I'm going to Rashi. Elakam ba'adam echad, zakt Rashi, sha'amad b'din b'bas achas. He was in Bezen. Adam echad does not necessarily mean one person. It means he's in Bezen at one shot. Eina nimka v'nishna, afilu b'gnevas harve. Even if it's many gnevas. Now, the dunya da'achas, that's like one. The hakas of haitziya b'loshin yochid. Gnevasai means multiple gnevas at one time that Bezen is dealing with it. Avu b'shnei b'nei adam, which usually means shemamidin aishah shnei pamim b'din. Usually, two people will bring you to Bezen at different times. Nimkar b'shulkalachas v'yachas. V'hu adin, says Rashi. Im ganav v'amid b'din v'nimkar. V'chazer v'ganav. Shiyatzuchavshi, chayzer v'nimkar. It can be the same person. If it's not the same hamad b'din, he gets sold twice. If it is the same hamad b'din, we view it as one. Even though he did multiple gnevas, but he's in Bezen at one time. Bezen is dealing with his crime at one time. Then the Torah says,
"How many men were they?"
Then the Torah says,
"How many men were there?"
It doesn't make a difference.
What?
Yes, doctor.
I apologize if this was covered earlier. I wasn't here. This goes to a basic question. Is being sold restitution?
No. It's restitution.
If it's restitution, then this makes no sense.
There's two answers to you. It doesn't have to make sense. Well, number one, because it's exeris
hakatzav. It's not restitution, it's exeris hakatzav.
Again, if the guy has money to pay back, he doesn't get sold. That means obviously it's not a knas. But if it were a knas, it wouldn't make a difference if he has money to pay back or not. Obviously, it is restitution. The Torah wrote rules on restitution. And the rules it wrote was Bignevasai.
So you can make a restitution of a partial payment.
It could, yes. According to Rashi. By the way, I'm going to try to argue in this whole thing. I'm learning Rashi, yes. A restitution can be a partial restitution. And if he stole twice, we will only sell him one time, and the rest doesn't make a difference.
I mean, it doesn't matter if he's...
Sir, could people mute themselves, please?
As he stole 100, but on the other hand, if he is stole twice, and then that's two payments, whereas the $100,000 is completely erased by the $5,000.
It's not erased. It's a debt. Let me explain. Reuven borrows $1 million, and he doesn't have any money to pay back. We don't sell him. But that doesn't erase the debt. It means he will live with his debt. And whatever happens to people that die with debt will happen to him. The debt doesn't get erased. The Torah wrote a special rule that a debt that happens through an act of stealing is dealt with differently under certain rules. And if not, it's regular debt. We don't get involved in, you know, I always say this, and I don't mean Chas V'Shalom, you or anybody else. If there would be no Rabbi Nishnam in the world, we'd have a lot of problems with the halachas of the Torah. But the Rabbi Nishnam runs the world, so it's not our problem. We do the halachas of the Torah, and the Rabbi Nishnam takes care of everything else. So this is the halacha of the Torah, and the rest is not our responsibility. Bezin's responsibility is not to take care of everybody's problems. Bezin's responsibility is to do what the Torah wants him to do with the problems. The rest, Baruch Hashem, there's a brighter shalom. He knows how to handle things. He doesn't need my help.
The question we have.
The Zayir says, and I don't know Zayir, but I saw this brought down. It says something about Gilgulim in the Zayir. So the Svarim explain. You know, why does Reuven lose money? Why does Shimon all of a sudden take a huge hit in money? Because there's a Gilgul last time around. Shimon took money from somebody. He's got now it's time to pay back. The Rabbi Nishnam runs the world. Right? The Bezayer gives a mashal. There was one person came. This is the mashal brought. One person came and he laid down to nap under a tree. Came number two, saw his wallet, stole it and ran away. Came number three, and this guy wakes up. He's missing his wallet. And there is standing number three. He says, give me back my money. The guy says, what money? Give me back my money. He doesn't give back. He beats him up. The desire is very simple. The last Gilgul, one took away from two. So the two had to get his money back. And three was the judge. And he passed wrong. So he deserves to be hit. So therefore, the Rabbi Nishnam sets this up. One gives back the money to two, whether he likes it or not. And three gets hit because he was the one that was the judge to Paskin wrong. Now, this is Gilgul, this is nothing new. There's a Rabbi Nishnam runs the world. We do the Tyra. Tyra says to them, give me the Tyra. Whatever that means, that's what we do. That's all. End the story. Not our job to try to do anything else.
But the question is, if there was a Hamad of, he stole two people, and there's one Hamad of a day, she's only sold once. Okay?
Again, I can only say the following. I can answer you that Bezin will never do one Hamad of a Din by two people.
Oh, right.
Maybe not. I don't know. But it's clear that it depends on the Hamad of a Din. It might be that Bezin won't do Hamad of a Din for two people or one Hamad of a Din.
So if that's true, then, so what's really, how's Gnevasai going to teach me then?
Gnevasai tells me that if you teach, steal from one person twice and there's one Hamad of a Din, you only get told once.
Oh, but not by two people.
Again, I don't know, because it could be that Bezin will do one Hamad of a Din. It could be they won't. Yes.
A little bit from the field. A person that works for his employee and he's stealing from his boss multiple times over the years, the boss finally realized that one gnaver is
what I'm under within.
It accumulated, in other words.
Yeah, it's what I'm under within. Bezin deals with I'm under within. Per I'm under within is one sale. Unless his boss brought him to Bezin twice.
No, accused him over 10 years of stealing.
Again, that's one Hamad of a Din. By the way, without evidence, it's worthless. It's not like today. No circumstantial evidence, none of that. Adam.
You have to have Adam for Gneva?
Absolutely. Without Adam, you can't do anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking also.
All you can do is fire him. You can fire his employee, but without Adam, can't collect. Again, there's a Rabbi Nishlam. He takes care of these things. Not my job. My job is to halacha. The rest is, you know.
A guy does not need esra, right?
No, money doesn't need esra.
Because
what?
Because it's money or because
it's money. Because it's money. Zuck the Gemara right. Tana Rabbana. Gnei boy Elof. Now, listen very carefully because I'm going to be gairus. The way the Mishnayim say Rashi's gairus. Gnei boy Elof v'shava chamesh meyas. He stole 1,000. He's worth 500. Nimkar. He gets sold. V'einai chayz of a nimkar. That's the girsa that they say Rashi had. You only get sold once. Chamesh meyas v'shava elof. Gnei boy chamesh meyas v'shava elof. If he sold 500 and he's worth 1,000, ain't a nimka klal. Can't sell him. There's no reason to sell a guy for more than he owes. And there's no selling for 3 years. It's a 6-year term. Nothing to do. I can't sell him. I'm not allowed to sell him for more than he's worth, for more than he owes, and he's worth much more than he owes. So I can do it to partial restitution, but I can't sell him and give him half the money and give half the money for restitution. Blazer Eimer, if I can have a connected Mimkari Nimkar, then Lav Aiden Nimkar. Blazer is even more. He says if he's worth less than the Geneva, we don't sell him. The only time we sell an Evan Ivri, if he's worth the exact amount of what he stole. And if not, we don't sell him. So according to Rashi's way of Girsa, the way the Rishaitim say Rashi was Gairus, the Gemara previously was going like the Rabbanon, to say we sell a person once per Hamadah B'din, even though it doesn't cover the whole bill. That's the Rabbanon Shita. We sell him once, we don't sell him twice. That's how Rashi's Gairus, not like our Girsa in the Gemara. Reb Eliezer says, we never sell him unless the Gneva and the sale price are exactly the same, which is probably rarely happens, if ever at all. That the Evan over 6 years should be worth the exact dollar amount that he stole is not so shriach, but that's life.
I mean, it's once every 70 years, but...
Could be not even.
Right.
Rashi.
How do they know what he's worth unless they auction him off?
They do.
They auction off on contingency that...
They don't auction off, they find out what its price is. One second. Everybody had an evaluation in those days. For everything we evaluated. But if somebody punched this phrase, broke his arm in a permanent way, we went to the slave market to see what he's worth.
But just because you can make an approximation of what he's worth based on the slave market doesn't mean that that's what he would actually get in an auction.
Again, it's what he's worth on the slave market. The assumption is you get what he's evaluated at.
It's not a bidding war.
No.
Why not?
I'm asking another
question. I have no idea. I was never in the slave market. I never attended. I'm not that old. I was not around by slavery times. I'm not that old. But the bottom line is, they used to have a slave market, and just like a car, it gets a certain value, even though you don't. There's going to be a bidding to a certain point. It gets evaluated at a certain amount.
The blue book for the
I think blue book is an under evaluation, but that's my personal
range,
exactly. So they used to have an evaluation. They went to a slave market and they saw what this kind of guy goes.
Essentially what you're saying is that every person carried within him a concrete, concrete value, a concrete assigned value. What they got paid at the slave market may or may not have been the same.
Well, the way we figured out the person's concrete value was through the slave market. That's how they did it for Nezek.
However, if they had bidding,
again, there must have been a way to figure out, forget this Gemara, Nezek. A guy cut off somebody's arm. We figure out what he was worth before, what he's worth after. How do you figure it out? You go to a slave market.
He was a highly skilled diamond cutter.
Exactly. I used to use a person's name. I said, with his hands, he's worth millions of dollars a year. He's a basketball player. Take his hands off. He's a checkout guy in Marks. Right, that's what happens. That's his nezek. One cut off his hands, the value of him would go from whatever Nike pays him to whatever Marks pays its checkout people. That's what happens.
I have to say, Rabbi Shimon.
He's not even here, Rabbi Shimon, so I hope you found out what
Rashi,
he had to say.
Rashi had 2 years, so.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I thought maybe that also.
That's my right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's impossible. Impossible. The whole bit of Ibn being sold is impossible.
What do you want me to do? What am I exactly? How do you want me to react to that?
What even is the answer?
The exact amount.
Again. I heard you. 5 times.
It's not possible.
Have you ever read this material like that? There's a halacha,
Ben Zerma,
or other ones where...
Exactly. This is not halacha. What do you want me to do? If it's possible, it's possible. It's not possible, it's not possible. Why do you look so disturbed?
Because it's new to me.
Are you in a market to have it? Exactly. What are you so disturbed about?
We don't have any evidence.
How is it new?
No, there's no evidence today.
I've been here for 20 years.
Stone that he has worth.
Rashi. That's a finishing bar. I'm a rabbi. B'chazachinu rabbi lezuch rabbanon. In my mind, Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Eliezer has a winning argument over the Rabbana. Why? The Maishnah Gnevu Chamesh Meis Shavel of Nimkar. Why did Rabbanan agree that if he's worth more than the Gnevu, we don't sell him? The Nimkar Kula Amarachman of Lechetzai. When the Torah says Nimkar, it means sell him for 6 years, not for 3. Hakanami Nimkar Begnevasai Amarachman of Lechetzai Nimkar Bechatzai Gnevasai. The Torah also said to sell him for what he stole, not for half of it. So therefore, I think Rabban Manashech, if you're going to learn what Nimkar means, he has to be sold totally, and if he can't be sold totally because it's too much, we won't sell him. So B'gnevasai means he has to cover the whole Gneva. So I think Rabbi Eliezer reads the pasuk better than Rabbanan. That's what Rabbi says. Because Rabbanan are reading one half very straight, and the other half they're saying B'gnevasai can mean partial. Rashi.
Where does
Rabbanan said if he's worth more than the amount of the Gneva, we don't sell him. They say that. Gneva Chamesh Meis and Shava Elef Ein Nim Kiklav.
And Lezer
holds the other way, that even if he's worth less than the Gneva, we don't sell him.
Why? Why don't we sell him to cover at least that?
Because the Torah said Big Gneva
Sai. But how do we know there are 6 years Big Gneva Sai means? Has to be the full 6 years. That
because it says Venimkar. Nimkar means 6 years.
So we can't see six as a max. You can't doesn't learn that way.
No, because there's no halacha that Bezim sells for 6 years, not for anything less or more.
Okay.
Again, this isn't that where we're holding. We're selling a guy for Gneva. He's not a Michael Ratzmai. He's a Nimkar.
This Gemara just wants everybody to ask a question.
Rash, yes.
This is going to set up a system where every year they're going to come back and ask for them to be sold because his price dropped now.
He sold for 6 years!
I understand, but I'm saying right now he's over value. He's worth more than what is stealing. So the guy he got sold from is going to come back next year.
No. Why? How about them then? No. Back. End of story.
If he doesn't pay...
It's like every other debt that doesn't get paid.
I'm trying
to say, we're not taking care of the world. We're doing Tyra.
How about there's a Yovel in between?
So then they only sell for what he's worth till Yovel.
Right. So 3 years, so it's going to be...
So again, So Enochanami. So
explain that to Rui Kwan. Okay.
Yeah,
sometimes it's
going to
be 3 years.
Okay, look, Rashi. Hachigasinan, Gnevai, Ela, Veshava, Hemeas, Nimkar. Now, this Girsa has Vechais of a Nimkar, but the Taisus of Rosh says that it's supposed to be a Nechais of a Nimkar. Gnevai, Hemeas, Veshava, Ela, Vein, and Nimkar Klau. The reason they changed the Girsa according to Rashi is because if not, the Gemara before is like no Tana. Because Rashi before said that we do sell them for a partial payment. And here, if you're going to be Gairus Nimkar Bechais of a Nimkar, you're never selling him for a partial. Either you're going to sell him double or sell him not at all. There's no middle Shita. That's why the Taisa Sarah says that Rashi was Gairus Nimkar Vein Bechais of a Nimkar, which would be like the Gemara before.
Our school doesn't mention any of this.
Okay, so you'll have to write our school. Kenegim Mkarai, My pockets, I'm not responsible for it. I'm responsible for Chai. Can I give him Chai? My pockets will lay Yitzer. Because the Chinur of Lesley Rabbanon, Yeshle Pitzchon Peh, he has a way to open his mouth. When he's Tzachain in a winning argument with Machloik is there. But like that, Yai, Ki Agi Hashta, Shishav Eschar Avede Shashon, and Pishnai Bignevosai. Right. He's worth twice as much as the Gneva. Ain't all of love and all of Chetchen. We don't do that. But Gnimkar means we sell him completely. So if a Nimkar means completely, Gnevasa means completely. That's what Rabbi Ezer holds. Zogti Gemara Vayter. Umavdin Aysi Baal Karkai. Zogti Gemara Vayter. So again, I'm going to learn the Gemara like every piece here. There's many different sheetahs in how to learn it. And I'm trying to maneuver my way to have the least amount of questions, which so far I have not been successful in, the least amount of questions and get a clarity in the Gemara. So I'm going to pick a pshat. There are different pshat in the Gemara, but I'm picking one pshat. So, I'm sorry? I haven't even said anything yet.
No, I'm going to pray. We're talking about
Amr Biyah.
I didn't want to say that.
Okay. Mavdin Tzai Tzai Bakarka, we redeem her against the will. Now, we don't know what that means. Sava Rava Lameymar, Bakarka the Adin. We redeem him against the will of the master. Now, the problem is that we know that already. That's Gero and Kesef. Obviously, the Bryce is trying to say something more, and uniquely for an Amavriya, and we're trying to figure out what is this unique thing for Amavriya over Eved Ivri that we redeem her against somebody's will. We always redeem servants, slaves, against the owner's will. What is being added here? Obviously, the Gemara feels that there's a different level here. There's a different forcing here. And we're trying to figure out what is it that Amavriya has that Eved Ivri doesn't have in forcing. It can't be the basic redeeming, because the basic redeeming is the same by Amma and Eved. They go to their master, they hand them the money, and they say goodbye, whether he likes it or not. What is the new thing that this Bryce is adding about an Amma that doesn't apply to an Eved that we're forcing? That's what the Gemara wants to understand. Zok to Gemara. Sava Rava Lameyma Bakarka De Adin. Amma Le Abaye Mai Nihu. What do you mean? The only thing Abaye can come up with is the Kasibna Le Shtari Adame, that she doesn't have money, but we write a star to the master saying that one day she will pay him. And the master can't say no to that. That means the Amavriya got sold for $25,000. 2 years later, somebody gives, the girl goes up to the master, writes him a star saying, listen, I worked, I owe you this amount of money, goodbye. That's the only thing Abaye can think of that we're allowing by an Amma that we don't allow by an Eved. Amaloi. But the problem is, am I? Why should that work? Nugget Meganisa Biyadai, he has a diamond, we give him clay. You know, give him a piece of paper, an IOU, I'm sorry. I have an Amma. You're giving me a piece of paper instead of the Amma? It's not fair. That's not redeeming. What if you never pay me? I mean, why should the world see the master give up his Amma for a promise? Zakti Gemara Elam Rabaya Bakarcha de Av. We force the father to redeem his daughter, Mishum Pigam Mishpacha, because it's very bad. The optics are very bad for a family that sold their daughter. Doesn't look good. And therefore, pressure is put on the father to the best of our ability. Get your daughter out of there. Go pay.
It's for the covenant of the rest of the Mishpacha?
Yes. Yes.
He gives an IOU?
No, money. We're finished with IOUs. IOUs are nothing. No. So Terence says, who are we forcing? The Arden? We force him by Eved Ivri also. This is a special look of Amma Vriya. A guy sold his daughter. Somebody, Bezen, or somebody calls him in and says, listen, what'd you just do? You've been violating your family. The people are going to say that the Smiths sell their girls for avodim.
Older daughter will never get a shit.
That's right. Exactly. The optics don't look good. So to Gemara, Yehaki Eved Ivri Nami Nechvino L'Bnei Mishpacha M'Shem B'Gam Mishpacha. Now here it's interesting. we're asking, we remember we had a big shiloh. We said that we never find that relatives can redeem an eved ivri that sold to a yid. That's going to be a machlokes later on. So therefore, to avoid that, we're going to learn, why don't the b'nei mishpacha force him to redeem himself? He sold himself. The family should go over to him and say, sir, you can't do this to us. We're going to have a brother, a cousin, an eved ivri? Go buy yourself back. Nechvinu b'nei mishpacha, the gairis b'nei mishpacha, let the b'nei mishpacha force him to buy himself back, or let's force the b'nei mishpacha to give him money to buy himself back. It's a b'gam mishpacha. You know, cousin Jim will get very upset. Everybody will be talking about he won't be able to do shidduchim with his kids because his cousin is an eved ivri. Zok to Gemara, Hadrazul Maz Benavshei. He's going to sell himself again. It's like no way to stop this. You're going to force him to redeem himself? The next day he'll go back in the market. What are you going to do? Again and again and again and again? There's no way to stop him. Frank to Gemara, Hanami Hadrazul Maz Benavshei. The father will resell his daughter. Tani Adinim Kara's initiative. Can't sell her a second time. So by a daughter, we have a way to prevent Pagam Mishbacha. And by Eben Ivri, unfortunately for the family, you're stuck with your cousin. He is who he is, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just don't put him on your resume. He deny your relationship. You don't know him.
Right. Bad, though.
What? I don't know. I don't think Eben Ivri. I don't think Eben Ivri looks good on a resume. Married to Shifra Kananis. You know what I mean?
It's a different level of Pagam.
I know, Pagam is Pagam is Pagam is Pagam. In a certain way, I think Eben Ivri's worse. He's an adult man living with a Shifra Knanis.
Definitely.
No, it's not good, you know what I mean? On the resume, it's not so good. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, my new. How the heck is the Balkarka the Ivri or Tvemi Ivri? How is the Vriya more than the Ivri? Even remember the last way Geruna, Kasinu Le'eshtar Adama, is it to say that we can give him an IOU? V'titnim lo, she gives it to him, k'shetat together, she'll pay him when she makes money. Menolon ha. How do you know that's true? Even Rakat Meganisa, he holds a pearl, goof all her body, ha'meshubad lo, that's working for him. But now Yavino Le'chasma, we give him a piece of clay? Give him a piece of paper? Is that fair to him? Obviously, only if he has money. Period. Umani? That's right. Back to the Gemara. Yes.
He could go out. A man. Rava said over there.
That the owner can write a star shichrur.
Oh, the owner writes.
I want to free somebody. It's my bechira. You're talking about forcing the owner by writing him an IOU. It's a total different thing.
When they're talking here about forcing the father, is that like the next day after he sells it?
As soon as we can get him, as soon as he has money.
But he has the money once he sells it.
You never know, he might have given it for something else. He might have already gambled it away in Vegas. Or drank it away at the bar, you know what I mean? Whatever his addiction may be.
If the Adam does accept an IOU, is that like
Mechila?
He says she can go?
Zunte?
Yeah.
Why would the Adam do it? I mean, nice guy. He wouldn't have bought it to begin with. You know what I mean?
And I think it would seem to me, for whatever that's worth, that the root problem leading to people being amazed by something that really cannot happen is that we are trying to look at these concepts through the ideas of secular justice.
100%. We are westernized and we look at things in our eyes. Therefore, slavery is very difficult. Servitude is very difficult. Amavriya is impossible. A little girl, what are you doing? Child abuse. Family services will be called. You know what I mean? They do worse things, but that is okay. You know what I mean? But she might not be a girl anymore. She might be a binary or a them or whatever else they are today. They're not even girls anymore.
The basis of secular justice from the Hammurabi Code, the Justinian Code, whichever, the Solonic Code, that the idea is that justice is definable by human reason.
Right. Okay. I agree with you.
The fundamental method of the Gemara is exegesis.
I know what that means. Oh, I know it.
I know.
All I know is go by Cairo.
But as you look at what was written and try and understand what was written, it's darshaning the...
We are interested in what the Torah says, not our Svaras. That's what I was trying to say. That's the Gemara Baita. Umani Rav Shimoni.
Why do we worry about pagam in families if the Torah allows it to happen?
What?
Why do we consider pagam if the Torah allows it to happen that a man can sell his daughter?
That's a very good point. The Torah allows it to happen, but at the same time, the Torah is concerned about pagam and allows for people to put pressure on the father. That's all. So I think my mind to Mani Rav Shimoni. And who is this like? Like Rav Shimon, the Tanya. Now we're going to have different opinions in halacha, all based on psukim, so we must give the Gemara a chance to tell us the psukim. Really, one pasuk, really one word. Netanya, Meicher Adam es Bito Leishus Vishayna. A person can marry his daughter off, Erison, and if she gets divorced, he can marry her off again, as long as she's a Ktana Nanara. Father has a right to marry his daughter off one time and a second time, not after Nisuan. Once she's married Nisuan, he doesn't have any more rights after Erison. L'shivchus Vishayna. He can sell her once and sell her a second time. He can sell her at 4, and at 10 he can resell her. L'ishus achar shivchus. He can also sell her, and when she comes out, he can marry her off. So the father has a right to marry off his daughter. Again, this is the Tanakama. The father has a right to marry his daughter off twice, or 3 times, or 4 times, makes no difference. He has a right to sell his daughter multiple times, and he has a right to marry her off after she was a shivcha. However, Avaloi the shivcha sacharishas. Once he married her off, he has a right to marry her off a second time again, Harrison, but he has no right to sell her anymore. Based on a pasuk, he has no right. He married off his 3-year-old daughter, and her husband divorced her when she was 4. Not Harrison, not Nisuan. He can marry her off again, but he can't sell her as a shivcha anymore. Zeres hakasav. Reb Shimon Eimer, shame sheina the meicher as mitul shivcha sacharishas. Just like you just told me that he can't sell her as a shivcha once he married her off, kach ein other meicher as mitul shivcha sacharishas. Can't sell his daughter twice either. And again, all going to be based on psukim. We're going to give the Gemara a chance to explain itself, but we want to catch up with Rashi. Zok Rashi, meicher adam lebiish umani hadik tanein and mekares v'nishnas. Who is the Tana that says you can't sell her twice? Reb Shimon. Meicher adam has bitul leishus v'shayna. Kibul ba kedushin. He accepted kedusha b'nis armel and his garsha, and she became widowed or divorced. Min ha'erison chayzer mekatcha la'achar. He gave me mekatcha to both. The kesef kedusha harshaloi, and the money of kedushin is his. Im le'bagrav. She's not a bagrav. The shivchus v'shayna. Machra, he sold her v'yaitza b'sheisha b'yayvul. She came out of 6 or yayvul. Ibe misas ha'adun, where the master died. V'yayda k'tana, she's still a k'tana. Chayzer ha'machra, he can sell her again. Avo yaitza b'siman, I'm loy, but when she's 12, he can't sell her. Dafilo loy machra ma'ilam. Even if he never sold her, v'yayda siman ha'mein ha'machra. After 12, he can't sell her. K'netanya b'erich, we have to say it. Yachol yim k'adam as v'yitim shinara. The Gemara in Erichon says maybe he can sell her at 12. Amr, to my mechura kvar yaitza, a 12-year-old goes out. So, akshav, she ain't a mechura in a din shloy to mocher. Right? If a 12-year-old goes out, obviously she can't be sold. Le'ishas akher shivchus, mechura bekabolas kedushin, akher she mechura le'shivchus, he can sell her, it's a way of sale, really not, by marrying her off after she had been a shivcha, b'yata sevecha Yisraelov. Sold her at 4, she got free at 10, he can marry her off. Avaloi l'shivchus acharishis, kibul kedushin, mekabul kedushin, v'chazir elav, shenis armela, and she came back, she became widowed, ein chazir amachal l'shivchus, ulekamei alfin Allah, this will be learned out from a pasuk. And Reb Shimon says, can't sell a girl twice. Dr. Gemara, ubeplukta dahani tanoi, Dr. Rashi, ubeplukta dahani tanoi, kloimar, kamivligi tanakame v'Reb Shimon bedrasha dahai krom. They're darshaning in the drush of the following pasuk, the pligi bar Rebbe Eliezer v'Rebbe Akiva. that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva have the same machlokes. The Tanya. It says in the pasuk. I'm going to read the pasuk. I'm sorry?
Rashi Shabbos Lashreina, he lists three ways of getting out. Why didn't he say Yeroin Kesef? Why is that not included?
I don't know. I don't know. Something about it. Umaputya Dani Tanoi, the Tanya. It says, La'am Nachri La'yim Sholom Baikra B'vig Deba. That's what the Pasuk says. It says, he cannot sell her La'am Nachri because B'vig Deba. We don't know what the word B'vig Deba means. Now let me explain something. This is probably as far as I'm going to get, and we're going to have to scratch question number 10. There is a machloikas throughout Shas. Some words read differently than the way they're spelled. We have a Messiah from Baisha to read the word, but in the spelling, we would have read it differently had we not had that Messiah. A good word to pick is Bevigdai. The word Bevigdai, Bigdai means clothing. That's what the word means. But if you would have read the word without knowing it means Bevigdai, you would have read Bevagdai. Because a chirik would have been there to read bevigdai. There's no chirik. So we would have said it means bevagdai, which means he was
displeased.
Worse than that. Like, Herner article is going to have a translation on the Amid Beis. Bevagdai, lashon begida. Like, you hurt her, you rebelled against her, you whatever it is. So now, what is the ikra way of darshaning the pasuk? The way it's read, the way it's spelled, or both? So if you learn the word bevagdai, that means don't sell her because you sold her already. Begida, you sold her already the first time. You hurt her the first time by selling her. So don't sell her a second time. Bevagdai ba. If you learn bevigdai ba, vigdai is a lashon of marriage. He spread his clothing over her. It's the way we refer to marriage. The husband spreads his beged over her. Svardim taka have it, the chasun and the kallah under the same talus under the chuppah. Right? Bevigdai ba means you married her, you can't sell her. So one Tana learns, bevigdai means once you marry your daughter off, can't sell her. That's the Tana Kama. The other Tana says, that's not what the pasuk said. The pasuk said, if you sold her, you can't sell her.
Betrayed her.
And the third Tana says, both. You can't marry her off after you've married, you can't sell her after you married her off, and you can't sell her, you can leave question 10. Because that's the machloikas. How do you read the word bevigdai? Bevagdai, bevigdai, or both?
That's
the Tanya. Bevigdai ba, kiven shapirish talisa yalah. Once a husband put his talus over her, Lashem Beged, Shuvayne Rishai Lamachron, can't sell her. Tivrei, Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Eliezer Eimer, Bevigdai Ba, Kiva Shabagat Ba, she goes by the spelling of the word, Shuvayne Rishai Lamachron, Bemaikam Eflegi. Rebbe Eliezer Sabi Yeshen Lamasiris, the main part of the Pasuk is its spelling, Rebbe Kiva Sabi Yeshen Lamikra. Reb Shimon says, "Yes, ain't lemikra, lemasiris." And Reb Shimon says, "Both are prohibited because we mean both." Therefore, according to Reb Shimon, you can't sell her twice, and you can't sell her after you marry her off. That's what Reb Shimon said because he holds both. Let's see Rashi. The Rashi, I think we have one little Rashi in there with Aleph. B'divir Reb Kiva Gersinan, Kiva Shapirish Talisa Aleha. We have to say that he's the one that goes by reading. Let me tell you what Rashi is doing here. There's a big shaila here, because very rarely do we find that the Gemara brings the opinion of the Talmud before the opinion of the Rebbe. Rebbe Akiva was a Talmud of Rebbe Eliezer. And this Braitha is bringing Rebbe Akiva's opinion followed by Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Huh? So, therefore, some people switch it around. Rabbi Eliezer is the first man of the Amar, Rabbi Akiva is the second man of the Amar. To us, we would say, my Nafkamina. Rashi says a big Nafkamina. Because in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Akiva says, Yeshem LeMikra. And Rabbi Eliezer and Bechayra says, Yeshem LeMisayrus. Rabbi Eliezer and Bechayra. So Rashi, I have to tell you that the first opinion is Rabbi Akiva, the second opinion is Rabbi Eliezer. I don't have a choice. I can't switch things around. Because if you learn Shas, you'll see that's the way it is. So Rashi, I'll carve from Liboy Liluk Mi Yashem Lemikra Rabbi Akiva, because I mean him in Sanhedrin Beper Kama, like we said in Sanhedrin. Yashem Lemisayrus Rabbi Eliezer, because the Echina Bechayrus. The Ramina Mahapul Tamil Sakhwiki, we use this to ask a different Kasha. The Ramina Hassam Rabbi Eliezer Yashem Lemikra. The Gemara wants to say Rabbi Eliezer goes by reading. The Ramina Mahaha, we ask him this Raisa, the Yashem Lemisayrus Rabbi Beper Kopsul Amakdash. Uber Mechilta Gesinan, Shapirish Talisa Lebediv Rebbe Akiva, would Rebbe Yazel less awesome. And take a look at Mechilta, it quotes Rebbe Akiva the way I have it here. So Rashi says, take it easy here. I know Rebbe Akiva is going before Rebbe Yazel. I know that's against the rules, but I have no other option. And I'm supported by the Mechilta, because the Mechilta quotes Rebbe Akiva the way I have it here. And even though I am running a very big risk, Rashi says, because I am telling you here that the Gemara just broke its rules of bringing Rebbeim before Talmidim. But what am I supposed to do? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Rebbe Akiva holds Yashem LeMikra. The Gemara in Bechayrus brings this as a Raya, Rebbe Eliezer holds Yashem LeMisayrus. So what am I supposed to do here? Therefore, Sakrachi, Al Karchok, I have to say this. That's why Rashi sends four lines on this. Because he bothered by the fact, which the other Rishonim jump on Rashi. They say, how could you ever have the Talmud before the Rebbe? And therefore they make a whole new shot in the Gemara.
Isn't the Gemara going to go to the Iker that we're concerned with, the Tanakam of Shimon? And that's why.
Again, but when we're quoting Rabbi Eliezer and Akiva, we have to quote them accurately.
Well, it's breaking it up, kind of. It's because it says this, and now the other one holds it.
Again. We said the Tanakam and Rav Shimon are arguing the Machlokes of the following Tanoim. And when we bring the following Tanoim, we have to be accurate.
So you think Rav Shimon's opinion first, then?
No, Rav Shimon is not in that Brisa.
I understand, but I'm saying it's following the pattern of the way we brought the Brisa. First the Tanakama, then Rav Shimon. So now it's being the Tanakama source, then Rav Shimon's source.
Again, we're saying that this Machlokes is the same as that Machlokes.
Right.
It doesn't have to follow the same order. It's a different price. It's different people. It doesn't have to follow the same order. Rashi's saying, I am breaking the rules. He's acknowledging that he's breaking the rules. Rabbi Eliezer is the Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva is the Talmud. The price is breaking the rules the way Rashi learns it. And Rashi says, I don't have another option. I don't have the option of switching Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer around. Yes, doctor.
First off, Rashi's correct and I'm wrong, but it seems to me that we've got a situation where initially Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, and then later on he became equal.
Never became equal. He was a Mandiyama, but he never became, he was still a Talmud to his Rebbe. He took, after they died, he became the leader, but he did not. He's never considered a Talmud Chavar or whatever it was. He argues with his Rebbe many a time, but that's okay.
And